made something to love. And the final thing is, we need something to look forward to. And Scripture agrees with this too, not just these psychiatrists and all these expert management health authorities. Scripture will agree with this too. However, if we want to be truly happy, we need to make sure that we are doing the right things, that we're loving the right things, and that we're looking forward to the right things. Now, with regards to this, I've decided to break the sermon into two parts. So today we're going to look at these three elements, and then the next time I preach, I'm going to use Paul's gospel letter to the Philippians to look at five choices that we have as well. So we're going to start off with what to do, what to love, what to look forward to. So let's, with those things in mind and the passage we just read, I'm going to read it to you again. And what do you think this passage is telling us to do, to love, and to look forward to? It says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say to the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realms of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So I said that we need something to do. Actually, everyone needs or wants something to do. And there are a lot of things that we can do that will make us happy. But if there's one thing that we fail to do, then we will never truly be happy. So I said there are many things that we can do. Well, what are the sort of things that we can do? Well, believe it or not, there are some people that love fishing. They love to sit there on the edge of a lake fishing. But how do they feel if they never catch anything? There are some people out there that, and this is incredibly hard to believe, there are some people out there that love to go camping. Wow. But what if it rains all day and all night? What about those people who during half term were out there on Friday night in their tents? Do you reckon that made them happy? Not necessarily. There are many things that people do that they think will bring them happy. The people who do the lottery, they think that's going to make, I'm going to win it. Now, when the lottery first started, there was 14 to million one chance against you ever winning it. And then they introduced some new numbers. And everyone, yeah! And the odds went up to 53 million to one against you winning it. So many people doing it, so many people not winning it. I could go on and on. There are so many things that people do that they think will make them happy. You know, some people save up for that nice car. And then they take delivery of this shiny new car. Got my car. And it makes them happy. Yes, they're happy. That is until someone crashes into it. And now they're not so happy. So what I'm saying is there's lots of worldly things here that will make us happy. Maybe for a short period of time, but not over the long haul. I can remember I've got a battered up 2009 Citroen C4 Gran Picasso. And when I first bought that, I thought, wow, great. Things are a burden now. It costs me a lot of money to keep it on the road. But I didn't feel that way when I bought it. Let's go back to scripture. There was the woman at the well in John 14 who had done a lot. And when I said she'd done a lot, what I mean is she had had five husbands. And she currently got a man that she was living in adultery with. So she'd done a lot. But she still wasn't happy. She hadn't found happiness. But when she trusted in Christ at that well, he gave her the living water where her soul would never, never thirst again. Now she was happy. And the prodigal son, in Luke 15, he had done a lot. He had taken all his inheritance early. He had got plenty of money. And now he was living on the wild side. So he had got all these newfound friends. He didn't realize, didn't necessarily like him, but liked his money. And he had, through parties, he, as I say, lived on the wild side. He had many women. But when the money ran out, he found himself living in a pigsty, in a place where he was now unhappy. He was hungry. He was cold. He was dissatisfied. But praise God, he came to his senses and he decided to go back home to his father's house. And this should be the picture for us. There comes a time in our life when we need to stop chasing the things of the world and come back to our father's house, to God. He's our father. And leave behind, or not necessarily leave behind, but don't chase after the things of the world that are temporary. Because these things, in the long haul, will never satisfy us. But like the woman at the well, try placing your trust and faith in Christ. Then you can start to find true happiness. the Apostle Peter. Now, there was a man that actually had plenty to do. He was a fisherman. He was busy. He was gets up early in the morning to get the first catch of the morning on the Sea of Galilee. He'd have to prepare his nets, prepare his boat, and go out in all weathers. There was a busy man who had lots of things to do. But he left everything behind. He just walked away from it. Now here, I'm not saying to you, walk away from everything in your life, because Jesus had a special work for Peter to do. But Jesus knew what would make Peter happy. And when he gave up everything to follow Christ, it was only then that in Christ he found real satisfaction that led him to happiness. Because Jesus, he realized that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And without Jesus, there is actually, in all of us, you may not realize it, but in all of us, not only here, but everyone out there is a God-sized hole in our heart. Everyone's got it. And only Jesus can fill it. Jesus lets us know that after we truly believe in him, when we fill that God-sized hole in our heart with him, that there is a work for us to do. Now, we have the privileges of being servants and ambassadors of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But what is this work that we got to do? There's something that we got to do to find true happiness. I said it's work. Well, anything that you do is work. So we need to tell others about Jesus. That actually involves work. Because you can't just think, oh, I talked to someone today about, oh, my favourite subject. I'm going to talk to you today about the hyperlateral convolution of a transmogrified vertigram and how it reacts to the index reflex of the hypostasis. If you don't know what you're talking about when you're trying to tell people about God, that's going to mean as much as what I've just said to you. So there's work to be done. You need to know what you're talking about. The other work is the people who know what they're talking about need to be able to train others to tell them what to talk about. They need to be discipled. We all need to be discipled. And we need people to do that for us. And when we become discipled, maybe then we can start discipling other people. That's the work that we have to do. We have to raise and nurture our own children. But working for the Lord is not a burden, it's a blessing. And believe me, I know this. Because we have, through this work, the opportunity to make an eternal and spiritual difference to other people. So to be truly happy, we need to find something to do. You know, don't rush out to go fishing. Because we always try and default to the things that we think are going to make us happy. And the reason for this is we think happiness comes more from physical things than spiritual things. But it doesn't. It's actually the spiritual things that are going to make us a lot more happy. Because the the physical things are only going to be temporary, and they will fade away, and they fade away along with our happiness. We need spiritual things to make us truly happy. So what are these spiritual things? Well, pray. Try praying. Try witnessing. Attend church. And it goes on. Read your Bible. That's the work that we have to do. Secondly, I said we need something to love. Whenever I say that, it always reminds me of one of my favourite songs by Queen. But to be truly happy, we need something to do and something to love. So some think that money will bring them happiness. But actually, money is the root of all evil. Many people have done a lot of damage, far more damage than good, through the pursuit of money, not only to themselves, but also to others as well. I've seen people trample over other people to make money. Money, if that is what you're chasing, does have baggage behind it, and it actually isn't happiness, it's suffering. Suffering not only for you, but also to others. So I've already mentioned about the things to do to make people happy. Same with the things to love. Be careful what you love. Think about what you love and why you love it. Now, Jesus actually said that the two greatest commandments involve love. We are told to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. And we're also told to love our neighbours as ourselves. An individual actually that doesn't love God and doesn't love their neighbour is an individual who actually will never find true happiness. Our love of God will produce obedience. The songs we sing today, like, let us not sing, you know, oh God, how I love you, and oh God, how I want to do this and that, and disobey what you're singing, go in the opposite direction. The way to show how much you love Christ is by how you obey him. Jesus stressed over and over again that those that truly love him will live according to his will. And those that love Jesus so much realize that actually Jesus has their best interest at heart. It's not like a Putin, a dictator, that wants you to do things that make him happy, that build him up. He wants you to do things that are going to make you happy. And when you truly love God, put your trust in Jesus, these things start becoming apparent, that it's because he loves you, why he wants you to live according to his will. Because he knows it's for your best interest. And then you come to the realization that you need to surrender to Jesus. Remember what I said my saying was to start off with? Come back to that in a minute. Also, if we love God so much, we will love the things that God loves. Your neighbours. Now here, I'm not talking just about the people who live next door to you. Your neighbour is anyone you come into contact with. And if your neighbour is also a Christian, guess what? They love you too. So, this is wonderful news. How happiness can make you feel, where happiness is. How happy does it make you to feel? How happy does it make you feel to realize that God loves you so much? God loves you more than anything else in this world ever could. Think about it. Your money, that doesn't love you. Your nice new shiny car, that doesn't love you. Your house, that will never love you. But God does. So we need something to do, something to love. Can anybody find me somebody to love? I said that song keeps coming in my head. The Bible will show you where there is somebody to love. But we also need something to look forward to. So this is the final bit. So we need something to do, something to love, something to look forward to. So let me give you some worldly examples of some things to look forward to. During the Second World War, the prisoners of war, their hope was never dashed because they believed that they would see freedom. People that work long and hard look forward to receiving their paycheck. People who enter a race look forward to the finishing line. Hopefully even winning. Praise be to God that we actually have something so much greater to look forward to. So let me give you two things that God gave us to look forward to. Just two. There are hundreds of things, but I want to give you just two. Firstly, we have our Father's house to look forward to. Just like the prodigal son. But our Father has a mansion with many, many rooms. And it's a place, did you realise that heaven has been specifically made by God for us? I'm sure that house is built on a solid rock. That's never going to fall. It's been prepared by the hand of God himself. And it's a place that we can look forward to. Look forward to going. Why? Well, there's no pain there. There's no suffering there. There's no tears there. There's no illness there. There's no sin there. Are they good enough reasons to go there? No. They are peripheral. God is there. Wow. Does that give you something to look forward to? Seeing God? I'm looking forward to it. Secondly, another thing to look forward to, we have Jesus's return to look forward to. Oh, hold on a minute here, you might say. No, that's the second coming. That's judgment day. Why would I want to look forward to that? Well, if you have done the right things, if you have loved the right things, you can look forward to this. Because Jesus himself is coming back to take us to heaven. It's only the people that don't work with, for, and through Christ. It's only the people who don't truly trust and love Jesus that have something to fear there. The rest of us are looking forward to it. And this is why this saying sort of means so much to me, because where are you looking for your happiness? Where are you looking for your blessings? If you go out there and physically try and grab them, they're going to run away from you, just like the butterfly. It is impossible almost to catch a butterfly. It's like this, but flying around, like this, trying to get it and concentrating on it. But when you give up and sit down and think, oh, and you don't even feel it when it lands on your shoulder, you think, oh, wow. And that's what true happiness is. Looking in the right places, not just looking at what's right in front of you. And that's by finding God, by doing his work, by loving him, by being assured that you're going to be with him, is where your real happiness is going to come from. Spend more time with him, and he will sit softly on your shoulder, and then you will start experiencing true happiness. Let us pray. God, you said in your word that if we seek you, you will transform us and renew our minds so that we will know your will for us. Lord, today we humbly submit ourselves to your will and to your word. Take us and mold us, Lord. Lead us away from the darkness and into your marvelous light. Guide our steps each and every day, and bless our lives and our families. God, I pray that all those who seek you will find you. Old ways and old things will pass away, but all things will become new through you. I pray that our thoughts will be focused on you, and every good thing will come to us as we wait patiently on you. Amen.